Blog Talk Radio.
Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Yo, what up, what up, what up, what up? Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Amongst Friends. I am Jeff, your host for this evening. It's Wednesday night. It's 8 o'clock, so let's get this thing popping. If you want to call in for comments or questions, you can reach us at 760-683-2662. If you want to join us or listen to us on the air live, you can do that at www.blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends. Forward or backwards, I can't remember which one. Or you can join us on our Facebook group. You can just go into Facebook, go into the search engine, and put in Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. And we will be there, and you can drop us comments in there as well. If you don't want to, you know, give us that little voice situation on the phone. Like I said, I am Jeff, and I'm here with Q, and I'm here with Deidre, and we're going to get it popping. Okay, so our topic tonight is something serious. It goes along with the month that we're actually in. And our topic tonight is, has the spin on Black history finally worked? Yes. Has the spin on Black history finally worked? Now, you might be looking at the TV with your head tilted to the right, looking like Shaggy and Scooby right about now. But what we're talking about clearly is for all of the Black history lessons that you've had growing up, for all of the Black history events that you may still go to today, are they still going on? Are they still occurring? Are they as effective as when, the 70s and 80s and 90s babies can attest to it? You know, are they as effective as the ones that are happening today? And then are for the Black history lessons that are coming out and being shared for Black History Month, are they more so of a be inspired? Are they more of a, this is where you come from, so now go forth because you know your past, so to speak? Or are we still getting the horror stories from slavery, the stories of us being stolen from our lands as kings and queens of Africa? So that's basically where we're coming from tonight. For me and my co-hosts, let me just throw this out there. Are you looking forward to going to any Black History events this month? What's on your agenda?
For me, the answer is I don't think so. And it's not because I'm not I'm fed up with the quote unquote certain aspects that come with the Black History Month. My reasoning is very personal and very private. So, and I'm not going to go into that. So, but when you say the spin, has the spin on Black history actually really worked, I'm thinking of how the powers that be, and quote me if I'm wrong, how the powers of be that run the United States, how they, I guess, pacify us, and not just us as black people, but I'm thinking about other minorities, how there's a lot of knowledge, there's a lot of information that the powers of be are not giving us, because I think as in black history, and not just black history, but in minority history period, you know, Asians, the Mexicans, we contributed, and even the Indians, even though, you know, they're not technically the minority, we have done so much to help the United States progress that, you know, it's not being told, it's not being shown on television, is pretty much, I would say like 90%, 85-90% is swept under the rug. And I think that's a form of blatant racism. But in the other aspect of it all, I think we as a people, and I'm just speaking for my people, we have a tendency to be lazy when it comes to our heritage and when it comes to our black history. No one really seems to want to do the research. What is force-fed to us is everybody knows about, you know, the good Negro, quote unquote, like MLK, even though we went through hell just to give him a national holiday. Everyone knows about the quote unquote good Negro, you know, the ones that I guess didn't want to do with violence, Murray McLeod Bethune, MLK, you know, but no one is preaching. And on the other side of this, Jeff, no, you know, the only radical you hear of is Malcolm X. You might hear the Dred Scotts. You know, you might hear the Marcus Garveys. But, you know, for the most part, no one know about Eldridge Cleaver. You know, those type of brothers who, Stokely Carmichael, those radical brothers who also paved the way for black history also. You know, no one knows, everybody knows Afeni Shakur as Tupac's mother, but no one knows the struggle she had to endure as a member of the Black Panther Party. You see what I'm saying? So I think to answer your question, has the spin on black history really worked? I want to say yes, and I want to say it's their fault, but it's our fault too for not doing the research.
Okay. So Deidre, what about you? Are you gonna put on your black dress and go to any African American history events?
That is a negative.
Okay.
Not because I don't appreciate, you know, the people who have paved the way for the African American community. It's just, I don't know, it's here lately as I'm getting older, and, you know, like when you were watching you know, 12 Years a Slave, which I'm not going to watch, or when you're watching, you know, the movie, I can't think of Django Unchained. Django Unchained, or you know, some of these movies, you know, that display the, you know, the things that we went through, or they went through, when African Americans were treated worse than a household pet. In some regards, they still are. I'm having trouble. You know, like I get that you're trying to show me, you know, the pain and the sacrifices that people made, but it has me feeling some kind of way, like, you know, like sometimes I get real angry and be like, just want to punch somebody in the throat, like, you know, we're human, you know, like, you know, a perfect example is, so this weekend I went and saw the Monument Men, and the whole premise of the story was, you know, during the reign of Hitler, you know, he was stealing all of these artifacts and the history of the Jewish people and all of this kind of stuff. And the government, you know, or there were people who were like, this information is important. And so they set up this team to go out and collect all of this art and this, you know, this culture, because it was who they are. But it just had me sitting there thinking that paintings and artifacts and all this kind of stuff was really more important than the African-American person. And it made me really sad. So it's like, I don't know if I'm just getting too emotional about, you know, the history of where the black people have come from. I don't know how to deal with it. You know, I hear about, you know, the inventions of the African Americans, like Q was saying, how much we've contributed to the state of America, period. And we're still treated like we're nothing. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this way that I'm feeling. So yeah, I'm not going to any programs because I'm already feeling some kind of way.
You know what? I don't know. The only thing I guess us older generation can do is, you know, like, each one teach one. You know, pull somebody to the side, especially the young generation, because I think, you know, pretty much of the young generation is lost when it comes to our history. They really don't. It's like they're just all about status. They're all about status and recognition without ever researching of how it got to that point where they're not really, really going back on the past. They just relying on the present. You
but
know,
here's
and that,
the thing,
that
though,
kind of,
Q,
that kind of bothers me.
But here's the thing. So, okay, so you reach one, teach one, right? But I find that with the younger generation right now is that they have a very hard time identifying the struggle. You know what I'm saying? Because now you have so many people that say, you know, I don't see color. I don't this. You know, everyone is equal and all of this kind of stuff. And to a certain degree, the scope of influence of this younger generation, they're almost not.
I'm trying to understand what you say. Like, there's no, because while as a child of the 60s, we've had those quote unquote revolutionaries that kept the story alive.
Right. So here you have, you know, the Trayvon Martin thing. And, of course, you have the younger generation, they're upset with that because, you know, that means that, you know, somebody can just shoot me, you know, whatever, whatever. But at the same time, this younger generation is the same generation that's walking up to people and punching their lights out for no reason at all. Or you have all of these videos with people fighting and all of this kind of stuff. There's no unity. There's unity in the appreciation of violence. Like the whole, you know, I was in a group and they post the whole George Zimmerman versus DMX. And they was like, oh, man, I think this is great. And I can't wait because he needs to get his ass beat, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but you do realize that he would get money from this, right? Like, now you're glorifying Trayvon's death. Like, do you understand do you understand how this could set us back as a people? Like, really? Like, you want to see this? Like, I don't know.
You know what? There's two opinions concerning that. There's the bigger picture, and there's the narrow view. And I think most people, of course, the narrow view is, of course, the bigger picture is, you know, DMX. Everybody wishing, hoping DMX will whoop his ass. But, you know, there's also the narrow view of what you just stated. It was like, you know, even if he beat up Zimmerman, he's still getting paid. So it's like choosing the lesser evil. And I think that's what the kids nowadays have to, maybe like that's all they know.
How do you reach out to them and make them understand? You know, like even with, you know, going back and saying, okay, let's just use Django Unchained. But you have kids who went and saw it, but they was laughing at stuff like when the man was, well, not necessarily laughing, but there was no, there was nothing that made them, like, there was no shock value for them when the guy was thrown to the dogs and the dogs were eating him because he was running away. The kids who were in the movie theater with me, they wasn't doing what my mom was doing, who was crying, or me getting all emotional because my mom was crying. They was like, dang, that's ruthless. That's, you know, and it was just like, you do realize that shit like this did happen for real.
Yeah.
There's no compassion.
Well,
go ahead, Jeff.
I just want to offer this. Q said something that, you know, I often hear, but my thing is, okay, so Q said each one teach one, right? So my thing is, if each one teach one, when do you get to a point where you've learned so much that you are to a point where we are right now, to where there are kids who can say to mom and dad, I want the new Jordans, and mom and dad go out and get the new Jordans because mom and dad are both making six figures. See what I'm saying? So it's like, when you've done the lessons of the bad stuff in Black history, like the people getting torn apart by dogs, men being hung, women being raped, once all of that is burnt in and you no longer want that to happen, so you do your best to get yourself to an economical situation to which, you know, you won't have to beg for scraps, You got your own. You can go out and buy what you want. You're taking care of your family. Everybody's got health care and not Obamacare. You're taking care of your mama and your daddy. You paying for them. You paying for them to live in wherever they at, or they staying with you and stuff like that. When all of that happens, is that not realizing that the spin on Black history has worked because you are now doing this? When does
I don't know that it's worth per se, because yeah, I may have the money to buy the latest Jordans, I may have the nicest house and all of this kind of stuff, but I could still walk down the street and in Florida, and if someone feels threatened, they can stand their ground and I'm dead, period. Or I can be racially profiled. Doesn't necessarily mean that I haven't gone to school and I haven't achieved the American dream. I'm still, in some people's eyes, a nigga. I'm still a nigga.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, that was it. I'm just saying, even though I've achieved all of these things, there's still a struggle. Like you were saying earlier, with all of the things that within the African American community, we're still not recognized because the life of an African American is still not valued. Not only with Caucasians, but the value of life within the African American community is not valued.
Yeah, I will give
and
you.
Let me add on to a little of what you were saying. I think one of the reasons why Black history is getting diluted some is because of how many of us as Black people quote unquote made it. You know, it's like what you said earlier. Nobody wants to, even though we are the main part of the struggle, once we get to that certain point where we get comfortable, everybody or some people are willing to turn a blind man's eye and kick it to the side. As long as, and it's like a mental bribery or a psychological bribery. You know, you making all this money, but, you know, if we give you this money, you can't say anything about how your people were treated. And it's a trickling effect that's going down from, you know, grandfather to father to the kids, where you said earlier that the kids have no idea of their struggle. The main reason why they don't know is because their father, their grandfather, they refuse to teach them that. And that's why I really mention, you know, each one teach one. You know, for example, when David went to go see Django, you know, where, you know, like you said, that the slave was eaten by the dogs, you know, for the better word, being shocked at the kid's attitude, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea, even though it's far-fetched, to, like, you know, talk to them kids and let them know how shit went down, how shit really, really went down. Unless we don't say nothing, they're going to come to their own conclusions, and like they're just going to laugh, whatever, and say like, oh wow, I can't believe that they did this. Yeah, they did it, and it was like a regular thing to do. It was a regular thing to, you know, burn your slaves. It was a regular thing to kill your slaves if they even looked at you. Our history in the media, in the newspaper, in the encyclopedia, they're not there. No, and you know the powers that be, Jeff, is not going to tell it. It may a few situations may leak out here and there, but for the most part, Black history in the United States is gone. Or it's not gone, it's there, but our people won't go look for it, won't go at it, won't go do any research. And that's troubling.
So, but along that lines, I mean, the way, I mean, this is where we might get a little red in the face, but this is how, I mean, I had a conversation with one of my boys. He came to visit me this summer, and we took him and his wife to the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial here in D.C. And, you know, he was there, and, you know, he was walking around reading the quotes and seeing people taking pictures and stuff. And, you know, it sparked up a conversation between he and I. And he was like, yeah, man, you know, that history is important. And, you know, the kids today, man, they just don't get it. You know, I see them because they do this, they do that, they do this, they do that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, and my thing to him was like, bruh, come on. It's like you sound like you want every Black kid to hear of all the bad shit did happen to Black people. And the bad shit is supposed to be what these kids, what all Black kids remember and keep in the back of their head to make them, quote unquote, do right. To make them, that's supposed to make them pull up their pants because their granddaddy got hung. They supposed to not call women, not call Black women bitches because they great-great-grandma or great-great-cousin Junie got raped just because a white man could and knew he could not be brought to justice. You see what I'm saying? It's like you got to know as a young person everything we went through to vote, and that's why you got to vote at every election now because we went through so much just to get the right to vote. And my thing to him was, well, what if somebody decides not to give their kids all of the bad shit? The bad shit is just bad shit that happened because we were stole from Africa. We didn't come over like everybody else. But had we come over like everybody else, what would be our story? Are you going to say that a parent or a school system is wrong because they give kids the list of the Black entrepreneurs and say this is your Black history, and then go through how they took an idea, went ahead and made the invention and brought it forth and got it patented, and that's what sparked us off using this and that today. Is that wrong? Is you know what I'm saying? Is talking about I don't know her name. I don't know my Black history when it comes to doing women's hair or nothing. But the woman who created the curling iron, or
Madam C.J. Walker.
Madam C.J. Walker. Is it a bad thing to talk about her and how she, you know, sparked the black hair revolution or black hair industry for women of color to start doing their hair and keeping their hair up? You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, do I have to hear about revolutionaries? Do I have to hear? Because my thing is, that's all the bad stuff. And if you want to talk about that's where I say this spin. Because for me, even though you have slavery, you have people who invented stuff. That's the spin. So the spin you're supposed to get out of that is you can be an entrepreneur. You have an idea, you develop it, you do it, you patent it, you break bread, or you revolutionize something, or you change the game of how things are done in the United States or abroad. You take the spin. If you are just a good person in society, and you play by the rules, you make your money by the rules, you don't break the rules as far as the law is concerned, you can live a healthy, prosperous life. Boom. As a black person, you don't have to. If you can be a black person and see color, you can be a black person and not see color. But that's a part of the spin on black history. Thank you, Martin Luther King Jr. So does it the way you sounding and the way my boy was sounding was he wanted these kids to see that real dark part of black history and take from that they supposed to do better. And I'm like, these kids today, by their parents probably taking those life lessons from black history and them doing better, they're making sure that their kids don't have to, you know what I'm saying, don't have to go through this, don't have to go through all of the bad stuff that, quote-unquote, black people have gone through. These kids are going to good schools, getting better education from day one. They don't have to worry about people picking on their clothes because they got top dollar threads on. They don't have to worry about people picking at their hair because they always got their hair done any way they want to get it done. Mom and dad is okay with that because that is not – dealing with your hair as a young kid is not a life – changing decision. It's just something to get the kid through to the next phase of life.
But I understand that, Jeff. But on the other hand, Jeff, what I'm saying, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, we as a black people, we're not getting saluted for the contribution we did. And I think that's one of the things that the older generation needs to pass along to the younger generation, and also, you know, and I'm thinking about you know, like other races, like the Asians in the United States. The East Indians, you know, those people, even though like us, many of them have progressed financially. They have progressed in some ways farther than us as black people. But the difference is that even though they have progressed, they haven't forgotten about their past, and that's what I think that's what me and your boy are trying to reiterate to the younger generation. We need to, quote unquote, maybe do what they're doing. Asian history has been going on for a long ass time. And now in 2014, you still see old stuff like traditional stuff. Like you know, the Chinese New Year. You know, when you go to like the little Asian festival, the young kids are in the crowd, you know, dancing to their history. If we see African people dancing, the first thing they're going to do is laugh. The younger generation is going to do is laugh. Not because they think it's funny. They think it's funny. They think the uniforms are funny. You know, everything is if it's not the latest craze or the latest gear, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Well, I will go so far as to say this. Out of all of the other races that have migrated to the United States, we are the only ones who did not. Okay? So there was no it happened, of course, after slavery, per what the history books tell us, the history of the world tells us. However, our first hello, welcome to America was met with a whip, cotton gin, and some sweat. So because of that, we are disjointed where a lot of the other races that you mentioned are not. Now, I will also go as far as to say this. Every other race, they have just as many assholes, disappointments as we do. Now, are we the same in that regard? Yes. Do we have a lot of people who do pay attention to the history? Yes. But when you talk about African-American history is not as rich in American culture as your Chinese, Italian, Portuguese, and Jewish. They've all, for whatever reason, brought that. They have brought that with them over here. But with that, they brought every kind of bag that also goes with their race, with their nationality. So we have the same thing as them. The only thing is, though, is we don't have our legacy is, if you will, the good things or the great things that we have done in the United States, whether those accomplishments are being sung from the rafters or not. Those are the great things. And when you add those up, I mean, you can get a great amount of pride in that. But that itself, to me, will not garner you the situation that goes on for Chinese New Year. It would not garner for you what goes on when people celebrate like Rosh Hashanah everywhere. They won't get you anything like, anything Jewish. Well, I don't want to bring up the whole Holocaust thing because that's a bad thing. I'm trying to reach for a good Jewish thing. I don't really know anything about them or their good holidays and stuff like that. But so we don't have that. Now, if you want to talk about Africans, that's a totally different story. Because if you are an African who came here from Africa and you literally got on a boat or a plane, or for you Star Trek people out there, if you transported over through transporter beam, then you can talk about your culture back home on the continent of Africa. And that's where you will have the people doing the African dance not laughing. Or you might have them, you might have them cracking a smile because they know from whence they came. They know what the, they know the history of the dance. They know the history and the meaning that it has for their tribe back home, if that's the situation. But
okay, I see what you're saying.
It's kind of apples and oranges for African Americans. I mean, that's, I mean, that's just the way it is.
I got you. Fuck, I understand. I got you. I understand where you're coming from.
So, America, if you feel that, you know, you want to weigh in on this topic tonight, you can reach us at 760-683-2662, or you can drop us a comment on in Facebook, in our group. Like I said, you can go to Facebook, go into the search engine there, put in Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show, and you can drop us a little ditty. And we can read your comment on the air if you like or don't like, or if we like it. If we don't like it, we still might read that too. So, so Deidre, when you think about the kids of today, do you think that they are overprivileged, if I can say that? You think they have too much privilege now?
Well, I'm not going to necessarily say that they have overprivilege or anything like that. I do believe that this generation is a very spoiled generation, and whether it be because I want my kids to have more than what I had, or I want my kids to feel that they are valued as a human being. You have parents out here, you know, a kid says, I want the newest Jordans. And then 2 weeks later, another pair of Jordans come out and they say, I want those. Kids want them, and because they're given these things very freely, there's no sense of there's no value in what's given.
Well,
they didn't have
what,
to. They
okay.
didn't have to work for it.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm gonna throw the parent card out there, but I tell my kids that mommy, daddy got jobs, and the job as mommy and daddy is to make sure that they are taken care of. And then I go further and I tell my children that it's their job, their number one job is their education. They got to crack those books. They got to get those grades, and because mommy and daddy want them to be productive members of society, we want them to be as intelligent as they possibly can be, because knowledge is power. Now, with that, my kids will not work until they are of age, which is like 16. They get the working papers, they can get a little part-time job, and then that's when mommy and daddy start the lessons about money and finances and saving and, you know, basically you can have whatever you want. You can start on that road right now because you have a little job, but we're going to make sure that you know how to save and how to make sure you know how to pay your bills and know how to budget your money and, you know how to say no when it's hanging out versus going to the movies, and you know that you have to buy school lunch or whatever, or you want to buy mommy and daddy don't have it to get those new Jordans. You might want to get those, and we might have made a deal to go 50-50. All that said, what do you say then to a parent who says, if my child's job is bust they ass, get them grades, and I will do my best to get them whatever they ask for, then are the Jordans earned?
Okay, but they have a job. They have a job The kid has a responsibility of making sure that they are getting good grades. They have a responsibility of, you know, paying attention in class, going to class on time, you know, whether it be, I'll get you whatever you want if you make sure your room is clean. I'll give you whatever you want if, you know, the household duties that I've given to you, you've accomplished them, then absolutely. It's not a situation where, mom, you come in and you clean my room. I'm just barely passing class. I'm really not paying attention. You're getting me, I'm getting tardy slips, or I'm getting notifications from the school that you didn't show up for class. But as soon as those Jordans come out, you standing in the line for 24 hours to get them Jordans. There's no value.
Uh-huh.
You're just going to give them. I don't have to respect you. I can talk to you any kind of way. All I know is when them Jordans come out, they better be up under the tree. They better be in some bag for my birthday or simply just because.
Hey, family.
Yeah.
I received a text from someone who's listening to the show who wants to remain anonymous, and I'm going to tell you what this person said. The person said that our initial legacy was taken from us. All other races came here, like Jeff said, all other races came here and were allowed to practice. We are African Americans, so our legacy is our struggle to have a stronghold and place in this nation. We continue to struggle to get our stronghold. Our struggle is easily compared to others, however, it's totally different than any other. Our ancestors built this country and still seemingly have no value. So
I agree
we're
with
basically,
that.
So, Jeff, I guess she was agreeing with what you were saying, was like, you know, other races and cultures and nationality, when they came freely. And there was discrimination going on, but even though they were being discriminated against, they still brought their culture over to the United States, where we were stripped of everything and had to start a brand new. So I think that she pretty much reiterated of what you said, and you know. She made a point that, I guess, in 2014, we still trying to, I guess, let's say get that stronghold, whatever that stronghold is.
Right. But I really do think that the collective kumbaya that a lot of older people are looking for as far as us as a people, that whole thing of, yeah, we're doing it. We have, you know, black people are senators and we're police officers. And, you know, take that back. We're senators. We're presidents. We're police chiefs. We're fire chiefs. We're principals. We are superintendent of schools. We are chief surgeons. We are chief librarians. We are running the IRS. We are this and that. But it's always the top of this and that. That's what older folks are looking for. One day you look across this great nation and you see, you don't see a sprinkle of African-Americans. You see a blackout. That's what I think that they want. They want to see a blackout. And a blackout is not going to happen. The ways that the other nationalities have come and have been able to do, that is not our way. I think
Jeff, you know,
our
Jeff,
way.
I don't think the older generation want a blackout. I think they want what other, I guess they want what the white races have. You know, they want to do things, but they want to do it without discrimination, without, you know, without the rug being pulled from us, you know, without, you know, we getting kicked to the side. You know, we want to do, I think they want to do things freely and without,
right,
you know, scorn from other people.
So let's kick it, homeboy. Come on. How about this? You, if an older person was to say that to me, then this is the next thing that will come out of my mouth. Oh, okay. So, Pete Gang, I'm going to go find somebody to knock over their head, steal them from their country, bring them over here, and make them do what I need them to do for cheap. I'm going to rob somebody blind of their culture. I'm going to strip somebody of their dignity. I'm going to rape their women, beat their men, do it like white people. Let's take the slavery thing off the table. Let's move it to now. You want to do it like white people? How many white people you know are shiesty as hell who are doing all sorts of crazy stuff and ain't going to jail for it, bruh? They got money to pay lawyers. They got money to pay judges. They got money to pay other people to do their dirt. They making backroom deals and getting it over. Now, you want to do it like white people? Because that's how they make the freely, bruh. That's how the freely come down, bruh. When you look at everybody, when you look at the white folks who have been prospering, they got, and I'm talking like the old money, I'm talking about these old money white folks. It is a situation of, if you go back in their history enough, it's money. It's money. They done knocked somebody over their head. They done robbed somebody. They done paid somebody off. But to my older, that's how they got freely. That's how that white person gets freely now. But you want to do it like white people? We can do it like that. Let's go. So then we're going to do, We're gonna start doing that, and we probably wouldn't have had Obama. We're gonna start doing that, and we probably wouldn't have had Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey. Probably wouldn't have had the Black Panthers. Probably wouldn't have had every African American in the NBA. There's millionaires sitting on a bench. NFL. Millionaires sitting on a bench. Multimillionaires playing. And what are they doing? They are playing by the rules that were given to them. They are functioning in society's way and making a killing, making their own individual moves necessary for their lives. For the most part, not knocking anybody over the head, no backroom deals, no robbing anybody of dignity, not doing it like white people. So I say again. To my elder, you want to do it like white people?
I think you would. Jeff, when I said, you know, let's do it like white people, I don't mean to. It wasn't my intent to say, well, let's go rob them, let's go do the thing that they did to us. All I'm saying is, and what I'm saying that the older generation may be saying is, okay, we deserve a piece of the pie too. If we deserve the piece of the pie, let us cut it instead of you cutting it and giving us little pieces and think, you know, that what you give us is enough. It all boiled down to discrimination, my dude. If we're free, we could be so much better if we get a fair shake in the game. And I think that's all we want for the most part. That's all we want. When it comes to business, when it comes to, you know, doing the small thing as filling out an application, you know, we just want our fair share. And we're only recognized, black people, we're only recognized as athletes or entertainers. The only person business wise that nowadays people know is Magic Johnson, and Oprah. From a business aspect, but there's a lot of other multimillionaires that did it the hard way, and I'm quite sure they went through some discrimination too. But the main point is, and I think what the older generation, that's what they're proud of. They just want a piece of the pie without the bullshit that comes with it. That's it. We don't want to kill. I'm quite sure they don't want to kill nobody. I'm quite sure there's some dude. They have that, you know, revenge mentality. But for the most part, you know, it's like we just want a piece of the pie, dude. We just want our equal share. If we get our equal share, I guarantee you, we won't bitch. We won't bitch.
And so, what does an equal share look like?
40 acres and a mule.
Is that what it looks like?
It could look like
40,
that. Or
I don't know. I don't know what 40 acres. I never understood the concept of 40. I mean, I understood what it meant. And at that time, you know, we were promised that, and we still didn't get that bullshit. So
okay,
that's some garbage.
So.
To answer your question, what does that mean? What does that mean? It's the small things, as like, you know, if we see a job, or if me as a black person, a white person, and an Asian person, you know, go for the same job, there shouldn't be any type of discrimination going on between the races.
Okay, and in some respect, it's not.
It's not?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, to be real, we all know that, you know, you got taught your ABCs, you got taught your 1-2-3s, and somebody somewhere is teaching racism. Somebody is teaching discrimination. So, but not everybody is there. People are getting taught those things, but they don't have to live by those things or use those things. So if a white guy, a black guy, an Asian dude go up for a job, like Deidre was saying, if there's a white guy at the desk and he's looking at these three applicants and he's been taught racism, he's been taught discrimination, but he's trying to rise above that, then he might choose the Asian dude, he might choose the black dude, he might just kick the white dude to the curb. Or he might just say, you want to know what? On paper and from the interviews, who comes across as my best candidate, I'm going to go there. And they do. Or they could go the dark way, which is, you know what, forget Bruce Lee, forget Django, I'm going with Oscar.
You said Oscar. You're so stupid.
But, you know, in those situations, I mean, it's a roll of the dice. It's a roll of the dice. And the best thing that any black person, Asian person, or white person can do is just be prepared for when opportunity comes and just, you know, always put your best foot forward, make moves positively, and reap the benefits. Know what I mean?
I got you.
So, yay. Okay. So, amongst friends, family who are listening in, if you care to call in and comment, if you care to call in and ask a question of us or to America, you can reach us at 760-683-2662, or you can put your comment or question on our Facebook page, Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. Just drop that into the web browser, and we will get that. And also, I want to take a short pause for the cause and let everybody who is listening know that February 28th, we will be down at Bar Louie. The Amongst Friends family will be at Bar Louie in D.C. February 28th for a happy hour, be our meet and greet. You can come and see the faces that go along with the voices, that go along with the personalities of the things that are said in the show.
Boy, you have.
Deidre will be there. She's going to have on some Tims and some skinny jeans, and she's got her hair pulled back looking like Justice from Poetic Justice. Q going to have on an afro, and he going to have a goatee that make him look like Babyface's brother. And I will be there with a New York Yankees fitted and a white beater. So come on out and have a drink with us. Chat with us.
Wait, but let them know we ain't paying for shit. Y'all paying for y'all own. We ain't going to have, like, a $100 tab at the bar and shit because I'm broke. So whatever you – when you come, expect to pay for your own shit. I'm not paying for your – I'm not paying for you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Deidre, get your boy, yo. Get your boy.
Well, he's actually kind of telling the truth because y'all on y'all.
Yo, I didn't say nothing about open bar. I didn't say nothing about we got you. I said come here.
But you know what, Jeff? Hey, Jeff, some people have that mentality. They was like, oh, shoot, you know, Mark's family, they going to be at bar 7. Yo, I'm bringing my girlfriend Patty. Yo, you gonna have stuff at the bar? Nah, I'm telling y'all that right now. Once you get there, you on your own. I'm gonna pay for my shit, okay?
And
I might pay for Deidre's, I might pay for Jeff's. I'm not paying for nobody else, okay? If Atlanta comes, if my boo boo comes, okay, I'll pay for her. I ain't paying for y'all Negroes. I'm not doing it.
Except
I'm broke.
Oh, okay.
Except Deidre.
I got bills.
And the last thing I would like to say for anybody wanting to come and join us for Happy Hour on February 28th, we will be there at 5 o'clock. And Bar Louie.
5 o'clock? Jeff, I don't get up to 5:30, dog. I get there by 6.
I will be there at 5 o'clock.
Okay, Jeff,
cronies,
you hear that, America?
Am I
Jeff will be there by 5. So just look for the guy with the glasses, a fitted New York Yankee jersey, a white beater, and a Johnson C. Smith jacket. That's Jeff.
Wow. And the last thing is that this event is Metro accessible. And now, back to our show.
Oh, yeah.
So Deidre and Q, if you were to be going to an African American event, you know, maybe like a play about the history or like a concert or something where they're gonna do a lot of like old school songs about, you know, the music that raised African Americans, what we were raised on, anything like that. Do you think the message, whatever message that they're trying to get across, do you think it would be as effective today as it was, let's say, maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago?
10, 15 years ago, so this is 2010, 15, would be like the year 2000. No. I think it wouldn't change. Now, if you said, that if this was the 1960s or the 1970s and we went to a show, that would be different then, because at that point in our history, we were still part of the struggle, going from civil rights to Black pride. But now in the year 2000, 2014, I don't think the effect would be that strong. Basically of what Deidre said earlier, and it's a good thing and a bad thing. It's bad because, like I said, our generation now is more, I wouldn't say lazy, but they're not of the struggle anymore. But on the flip side, it's kind of good because other races. You know what? Another thing is that now it's not primarily on race anymore in the year 2000. It's more along the lines of class. So you see, it's a case now of the haves and the have-nots, where color really isn't an issue anymore. So in that aspect, it's I wouldn't say it's good or it's bad. Race relations have gotten good, have gotten better over the years, but it's still, we have to fight now with the haves versus the have-nots. And it's not about color anymore.
Uh-huh.
What say you, Deidre?
What's the question again?
Oh, Lord, Deidre, hi.
Really?
Do you think the message of a Black History event is as effective today as it would have been 10, 15 years ago?
No. I don't think it's as effective as back in the day, no. Because back in the day, it was still very fresh. I mean,
okay.
It wasn't so far removed. I mean, you know, right now, Q or Jeff, you know, you could talk to someone who's in their 90s or 100 or whatever, and they could say, you know, hey, they may not have experienced slavery or saw any prejudice or anything like that, but they knew somebody. Whereas if my mom was in her 30s, she could probably say, yeah, I knew someone. Or my grandmother could say, yeah, my mom went through. So for her, it's more relevant. For
it's
me,
fresh.
Right. It's for them, it's fresh. For me, it's like, oh, you know, it's good to have the history, but I wasn't, it didn't touch me personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It touched me because it touched my grandmother, but it didn't touch me. Because, you know, like I can say I've never had anybody call me a nigger. I've never been exposed to that. While I know it's there, I've never had
mm-hmm.
to deal with that.
You've
mm-hmm.
never been called
the N-word? No. I mean, no. Hold up. I've never been called
We're talking about the N-I-G-G-E-R, not the N-I-G-G-A, right?
Right.
Okay.
I've never had someone I've never had a white person call me a nigger, ever.
Shit, I have.
Whoa.
I have. And I would say it was close within the past 10, 15 years. Why do
Boy, you? Are, well, you are kind of old, though, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
We talk about in the year 2000. What the hell?
So ladies and gentlemen, you just expressed an elderly joke.
First of all, Deidre ain't even funny.
Oh,
anyway.
Yes, I am.
So, I'm not talking about when I was four. I'm talking about when I was in my 30s. Some cat, you know, grew up and said that shit to me.
Right.
Well,
so Jeff, have you been called a nigger?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, and I
you,
have put.
You know what?
And I have put foot to ass to prove it.
Mhm.
Word up.
Mhm. You know what's kind of ironic and all? You know what's kind of ironic? Deidre was born and raised in Texas. You know, a place where, you know, I'm quite sure racism is rampant, you know. And she's never heard that out of a white person's mouth. I just find that real, real interesting.
Well,
Deidre was raised in an all black community where they had black cops, black lawyers, black judges, black mayor, and, you know, they didn't really deal with the outside white.
Well, no. I am from a very small racist city.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, my grandfather and my grandmother were very influential in the neighborhood that they, you know, that they lived in. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say that it was a rich neighborhood.
Was it mixed?
No, actually, it was an African American community where everybody had their own houses.
Well, Deidre, that's probably why you never experienced it. If you're in a predominantly one race neighborhood, then yeah.
Okay, but I also went to a predominantly white school from elementary all the way up to high school.
You were with your peers, baby. With your peers, so I'm quite sure that hasn't been said to you, but I guarantee you somebody's parents thought about that shit and didn't say it.
But here's the point. Deidre has never been called a nigga.
Okay.
That was the question. Did somebody look at me and think, look at that nigga girl? Or something like that. I don't know. It was never said to me.
Look at Deidre. She's a cute little nigga. Okay, I got you.
It was never said.
Okay. Yay. I'm glad. I'm happy for you.
He's funny.
I still can't believe she ain't been calling the N-word. She ain't been called the N-word.
Is that what you want me to be called, the N-word?
I don't want you to be, but I mean, seriously, like, imagine it. Like, I grew up inner city up north, right? So my neighborhood was mixed. I had, there was black people. There was white people, there was Puerto Ricans, and I know the sting of that word. It took a very brave couple of white folks to call me that, for me to feel the sting of that word, and for me to instantly see red and want to go to jail because I'd have killed somebody. But the word originated in the South, and I'm not saying it originated in Texas, but it originated in the South.
And we didn't
even
get free. We found
right, but I'm saying it originated, like I said, the whole sting of it all originated from the South, and you grew up in the South, and you've never been called it. So it's like, I almost have an expectation that every black person will be called that word at least once in their life.
I could even say, well, I'd have to ask my mom, but I don't even think my mom has ever been called a nigga. I know my younger brother has been called a nigga.
Oh, Deidre, come on.
In all honesty, though, to hear her say that, though, that is like a beautifully refreshing thing. It's taken me a minute to get my head wrapped around it, but yeah, that is like a beautifully refreshing
thing. I'm trying to wrap my head around that too. I'm not saying that you're lying, Deidre. I just find that it's I don't know. If you said your mother never been called, then okay, I believe you. She must be, an extra very special person to not be called that.
I don't even think my aunt was called a nigger.
Okay. Okay.
She don't go through every family member now that's a female.
Yeah. My cousin twice removed was never called in again.
I don't think my cousin Clementine was at
the
call.
No, I'm trying to think of my relatives who are around both of your ages who may have had a different experience than I had, and they were born and raised in that neighborhood.
Wow. You try to throw the elderly card out?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, like I said, my grandfather and my grandmother were very influential in the neighborhood that they were in. Now,
let me find out that your people was running numbers up in there.
Ain't nobody running numbers or anything like that. I'm just saying.
Woo.
I'm trying to think. You know how some people do what they need to do, whether it be he may not have never been called. My grandfather may have never been called a nigger, but he may have been considered the good boy who knew his place. You know what I'm saying? So while he was never called a nigger, he may have been
called boy.
He may have been called boy.
Oh.
I don't know.
That's about three steps away from getting the ass whipping you call me boy like that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have to. I'm waiting for my mom to respond back to me. If she may have been called a girl, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, America, you still have a little bit of time to call in, give us your comments, give us your questions. You can reach us at 760-683-2662, or you can drop it. You can drop that on Facebook at Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show, and we'll try and get you an answer. Go bad or indifferent.
So y'all need to call in and let Q and Jeff know that I'm not the only one who's never been called the N-word.
America, if anybody was raised in the South, we're talking about south of Virginia, and you've never been called the N-word, hit it up, damn it, because I'm curious.
Q and Jeff, if y'all wasn't acting the damn fool, maybe y'all wouldn't have been caught. No, I'm playing. I don't want to go there.
Yeah, because the first thing I would have told you is stay out my neighborhood.
Basically.
Yeah. Because they don't understand the ghetto.
Yeah, well, I didn't live in the ghetto. I definitely didn't live there.
Oh, yeah, because there are no ghettos in Texas.
No, there aren't ghettos, but there are projects.
I thought they called those prisons. Oh, my bad. Oh, shoot.
You're funny.
Is that what he created Texas Hold'em?
We didn't have ghettos in my city. We had the black side of town, and we had the white side of town, and then we had directly in the middle. And we had people who owned their homes, they owned their land, they owned all their stuff.
Yeah, that's not a ghetto.
What's that got to do with the fight in China? I mean, you could still do that and still be called an idiot. Hell.
Yeah. DJ, you know you just described Maryland. That's all you did.
Well, then that means that there are a lot of people in Maryland who've never been called a nigger.
Nah. Woo. Yeah, Maryland's a different type of animal than Texas, yo. I would gather there's a lot more people in that narrow Maryland that been gone than in Texas.
Well, whatever. I'm sorry that y'all had to experience those things. Which further validates my point. Here I am at 37 years young, and I've never been called a nigger. So the frustration or the anger that both of you felt, I've never experienced that. So while you may feel some kind of way about Caucasians, I don't. I think everybody's great and wonderful because yeah. that's not been experienced.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna turn the volume up.
I'm sorry. Let me turn the volume up on this. We shall overcome.
Whatever.
Was it this song? Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. Anyway.
Whatever.
He's just spewing that black hippie shit from Texas. They do shrooms down there, y'all.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's
very interesting that y'all are making me think about my childhood and how I was raised and the experience. Even though I realized that I was very sheltered, y'all are making me feel extra sheltered. Like I didn't have these issues. I mean, I knew about, you know, the racism that people experience. But it was because it was taught, you know. We had the Black History plays, and we played the characters and stuff like that. But that didn't necessarily mean that we saw it firsthand. I'm grateful. I'm really grateful for my childhood.
I'm grateful for my too.
Yeah, me too. I'm grateful for mine. Two, three, four.
I'm just saying.
Five, six. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to another close of a great show. I'd like to thank Deidre and Q for putting it down with me on this topic tonight and sharing your views on Black history. America, I hope we gave you food for thought and not really fuel for the fire. I want to just shout out everybody and say February 28th, come check us out, Bar Louie, Gallery Place, D.C. I'll be there at 5 o'clock. These late Black folks will be there later. And Q or DJ, y'all want to say anything?
Join us next.
The 28th. What Jeff said. Don't be late. Don't come around at 7:30, and you go because you might be gone. We gonna be gone. We said 5 o'clock. I don't stay out too long. I'm old. I don't stay out too long.
Everybody needs to confirm. I just want to confirm that Q said he was old. So I just want to confirm that and agree that he is. And we'll see y'all next week, same time, same place, different juicy topic.
Jeff, take us home.
Amongst friends, all up in your area, we got top picks causing mass hysteria. Crew 4D, peak the technique, we hit you hard from the pew to the street. Amongst men, for the ladies, for the men, just 21, or wearing the pants. Fab or combo that you like, come and get with us tonight. Amongst friends.
Fabo Convo amongst friends. Fabo Convo, grown and sexy baby. Grown and sexy baby. Ooh. Amongst friends. Fabo Convo amongst friends. Fabo Convo, grown and sexy baby. Grown and sexy baby.
All of friends,
That's why you haven't been called a nigga, yo, because you sound like a white girl. What in the world? I'm gonna ask you.
That's what it is.
What was your nickname back home? Chocolate Vanilla?
My name was Deidre. Period.
They call you
Squirrel?
What the? Oh.
No, they call me Deidre. Or they call me Deidre.
If they call you like LaTanya, you know, like, oh, that's a nigga name.
Uh-uh.
But Deidre.
Nope. My name is Deidre, but what they called me was Deirdre.
See, that's even worse for her.
Did you say that's worse
or worse?
That's
even worse
or worse.
Dude. Negroes.
Yeah,
okay.
All
right, love you guys.
All
right. DJ, you got it next week. Be ready.
Yep, we're going to talk about side chicks.
Ooh.
Side chicks? We talking about that last? Okay.
We didn't talk about side chicks last week.
Okay. We didn't?
No. We talked about Mary Jane in the show.
We're going to talk about side chicks next week, so, okay.
All right, cool.
Unless I change my mind.
Okay.
You'll know. I'll let y'all know soon what we're talking about.
My topic is the rise of interracial relationships. I started working on that.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
Bye, my Negroes. I see you. Peace.
Love y'all.